Hey everyone, Irit Izibs here for CSM Practice, the customer success consulting strategy firm. Today I have someone very special. He was like one of the top 50 influencers in 2022, top 50 influencers in 2021. And he is consulting companies on how to not only increase the number of user adoption, but actually sustain it. And he does that with his company called Success Change that he established 2 years ago. But before that, he was doing this type of consulting work for almost a decade. And if he's not busy enough, he also has a podcast called The Jason Take On. Did you guess who it is? It's Jason Whitehead.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. We loved having you on our podcast as well, too, because you really shared a lot of great ideas. We've had some great feedback on it. So thank you.
All right, guys, stay tuned because Jason is going to stay here till he answers all my questions around how do you increase user adoption? How do you sustain user adoption? All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, Jason. So first of all, before we dig into user adoption, where do you find the time to do consulting work, to do the podcast, to write blogs? By the way, one of my favorite blogs that you published recently was How to Accelerate and Sustain User Adoption. And I'm going to add the link to that blog below if anybody wants to learn more about this topic. But tell me, how do you balance your life like that?
Well, I wouldn't say I do it well. It's one of those things that is a constant struggle. You know, it's great that I love the work and I love working with my clients on this stuff. So that makes it a lot of fun, but it's tough. We also have two young children that, you know, from when you have children, it's a constant rodeo trying to figure out how to get everything straight and keep it all going. So there's a lot of spinning of plates going on.
From a professional standpoint, you started your career way before customer success on user adoption. So back way, let's say, before customer success became what it is, most companies were concerned about user adoption after they purchased a software because they owned the licensee. So the responsibility of user adoption was very clearly the customers, not the vendor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when I first started out in my career, I did a lot of system implementations, you know, Siebel, Salesforce, things like that. And then I got a job in-house at Fortune 500 company where I was turning around a failed Siebel implementation. And my boss came to me one day and said, "Hey, Jason, it's great you've got the system up and running, but if you can't get people to use it and we can't prove to the executives that we're getting value, we don't need it and we don't need you. So you better figure that out." And I'm like,
"That's no pressure."
But you know, that actually was one of the best things that ever happened in my career because suddenly I had a mandate to go and make sure that I was focusing on more than just the technology. And I was really working as an internal consultant and working with the different business users that were on the system and trying to figure out what are the things that we can do to change people's behavior, to change how they do their job on a daily basis, to help them collaborate more effectively. And using the tool was a big catalyst for that. But there were so many other issues outside of that that affected the ability of the organization to get value from the technology that it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And I think then when I got into customer success, it's like, oh, wow, this all applies. It's just you're still acting as a bit of a consultant. It's just your external now as opposed to internal.
That's awesome. Well, I just want to double click on the fact that there used to be a time where a company hired someone internally to be in charge of making sure that whatever systems they bought were actually being adopted by the organization. Yeah. Would you say that nowadays, like the whole responsibility shifted to the vendor, the software vendor?
I think the pendulum's swinging back. I think when SaaS first came along, the assumption was, oh, well, we can just sell differently. And our customers, of course, will get value from the system because it's the same technology they'd always use. And then suddenly vendors are realizing, oh, they're not adopting it. They're not using the technology to create value. And then they're you know, hitting the trail and leaving. Yeah. So suddenly, you know, I think initially it really swung to the vendor's perspective. But now I think more and more software buyers are realizing it doesn't matter if it's on premises or in the cloud or where it is. I still have an underlying business problem to solve. And that's not the technology alone. So I've got to figure this out because it's really about us and our staff and how we're using system and how we're collaborating with the technology. And they're realizing we no longer have the option just to blame the system or the vendor.
So from 100% responsibility of the buyer to what is it, 50-50, 70-30? What do you think?
I think it should be 70-30 with the buyer having more responsibility. But I think the reality is a lot of buyers still are not taking that on and they still don't realize, hey, this is something that has to happen internally. And there's still a lot of blame the system, blame the vendor for things that are not the vendor or the system's fault that are organizational.
You can always almost like draw a framework as when is it like more leaning towards the buyer's responsibility and where is it like 100% the vendor's responsibility? I think there's like a couple of factors that influence what is actually happening. Mm-hmm. Would you say that that's a fair statement? And if so, what would be the main two factors that would determine how much motivated the buyer is to actually get that user adoption?
I think if the vendor does a very good job of explaining, even during the sales process, let's say, look, you know, it doesn't matter if you buy our system or someone else's, but if you don't take the actions necessary in your organization to get your people to use whatever technology tool effectively, you're not going to get the outcome that you want. So you've mm-hmm. got to understand that this is a change in adoption behavior issue. It's not just about the system. The system plays a role, and absolutely. And I think as a vendor, mm-hmm. you can then come and say, and here's how we're going to help you do this faster and better with the resources and the expertise we provide.
Well, I think that's part of the methodology of how you can help the buyer achieve user adoption. But I mm-hmm. think that what you will find in reality is that the higher the cost of implementing or even buying the system. So I don't know, the total cost of getting the system up and running, and the more it is related to critical processes that the company has, mm-hmm. the more motivated the buyer is to take responsibility or accountability for user adoption, for high user adoption rates. Right. I think that when you buy like a simple solution, doesn't cost a lot of money, it's not attached to your core key moment of truth types processes, you're not going to get that level of accountability from a customer.
I agree with that. I think the bigger the spend, the bigger the interest in making sure it's successful. That's more visibility in the company, absolutely. I do think, though, even when I've worked with small organizations where it's a single department is using a tool and they're not a ton of users, there's still a level of collaboration required, a level of figuring out how we're going to work together using this tool that people don't expect they have to encounter. And they can still, even if they're not spending a lot of money, they're realizing, oh, we're not solving our business problem as a result of the system. And then they go and they try another system, they have the same thing. And then they try another system, they have the same thing. And eventually they realize, oh, it may not just be a technology issue, there may be something more here. And I think the quicker that you can get people to think of the driver of success really about how you interact with the technology, not the technology itself, that really helps people to look at other possibilities of how they're going to achieve their goals.
Yeah. So my main takeaway is customer success leaders are, first of all, assess where you are, like how motivated your buyer is to get high user adoption. How impactful is it to their business? And can you communicate that to the buyer? And then the next thing that you need to do is really work hard on tying the user adoption to actual business outcomes and critical mm-hmm. business outcomes that they can have, and even if they didn't share it initially.
Right.
Thirdly, like you said, be the consultant on how to get there and how to get high user adoption. So spill the beans. The best companies that you've worked with that were a software vendor, mm-hmm. how did they partner with the customer to increase that user adoption?
I think one of the first things is really establishing right up front with the customer, what is your plan, not just to get the system live, but to make sure that people are using it to create value. And one of the first questions that we typically ask is the, what does success look like 5 years after go live? Because especially with a big project, okay. I think people are so focused on time and on budget and getting this transformation done. And all eyes historically have watched the, all right, this is a system go live and what's the go live date? And when you get them to focus way down the road past that, when they're over the anxiety of budgets and data and transformation and implementations, then they're looking at value and solving business problems. Then they start to think, oh, wait, this is very different. And that's when they start to give you the answers that you're used to, which is the, what is the business outcome we're trying to achieve and how are we going to get there? So I think starting there is a big piece. And then the second question that I usually like to ask that really throws people is, whose job in your organization is it to make sure you hit that goal 5 years down the road? Who's going to be accountable for making sure that you've got the adoption and that you're solving the problems that you're looking to solve? And what are the resources they have and what's their motivation? How are they incentivized to make sure that they actually achieve this goal?
These are really great questions, by the way. And as you were saying, then I was just thinking, well, these are questions we should be asking during the sales cycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if you're trying to position yourself as a software vendor that not just delivers software, but creates value for customers, having these value-based conversations with an eye towards, here's what it's going to take for you to get there in your organization, you know, even outside of our software, that's a great way to start to really be that trusted value, that value added advisor. Like, it's up to you to get there. I can show you where the landmines are and I can help you navigate them and avoid a lot of things, but you've got to do the work.
Some companies, they sell to one persona, let's say the high level executive team at a headquarters, but then they need almost like resell it to each factory or to each site that they're actually going to work on because they just got the mandate from somebody else. And so I think those two questions are great to ask during a kickoff call too.
Absolutely. I think everyone needs to hear that all the way through.
Well, I'm looking at your blog. You have like a list of critical elements to a user adoption strategy. So first of all, there's so many companies I work with that don't even have conceptual thinking around needing to define a user adoption strategy. Is this your take, dude? Do you go talk to a lot of companies and say, yeah, our user adoption strategies? I never hear that.
I hear very few companies think of it in advance. And what you typically hear is, oh, we need to do a little change management. And they're like, a little training, a little communication, and we'll be fine. And because we're going to say, oh, you'll have no choice but to use the system. You know, it's going to be required. You can't mandate someone else's behavior. And you certainly can't do it at work where you have a lot of educated, free-thinking, independent people. Instead, you need to figure out how you can set expectations and change the environment to get them there.
First and foremost, the recommendation is that every software company or even a solution company in general services start thinking about defining a strategy for user adoption. And one of the first things that you say in the blog, first else, is something that they should be doing internally and some things that they should start doing with customers. And one of the first thing that you have on your blog, and again, the link is in the description, is to assign an ownership for software adoption. So meaning somebody that's actually accountable in the company to drive user adoption up.
Absolutely. If you do not have a single person who's going to say, this is my job and I'm going to make it happen, it's not going to happen. And I think a lot of people assume that, oh, well, the system's so easy to use and we've trained people on it, it's just naturally going to be adopted. And that's really not the case. If you think about it, especially in a large organization with lots of users and lots of locations and things like that, you may have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people. You're essentially trying to get them all to change how they work. And for some people, it's a big change. Some it's a very little change, but they aren't always clear on what needs to be done. And they need someone who's going to provide the resources and the initiative and really what they need to get them there. And if you don't have that, you're going to fail. I mean, there's really no short way around it.
100%. So first step one is like, okay, pick an executive.
Yeah, exactly.
Volunteer executive that would lead this initiative and create a strategy charter. So you have an owner.
Yeah.
Right. What else? You need the success criteria for this initiative.
Right. So you're starting out with the, you know, who's the owner and why do they have a personal stake in making it successful? Especially for the big ones, like you say, at the senior level, you need an executive that's got to be tied to some sort of compensation or something with them for a large initiative. And actually for a lot of them, it's also the reputation risk for them. If they want this to be, if their name's on it, they want it to be seen as a success for personal reasons and as well as career reasons. And then the next step is, all right, what is success? What are we talking about? My business partner, Sue Nabbitt Moore, who's just fantastic, she has a methodology she uses called AMPM metrics, which are adoption activity metrics. Sort of what are the leading indicators that we have that we're going to be achieving success as we go through? And then PM metrics, which are the performance ones. What is it we're actually trying to achieve? Those business outcomes. The AM metrics better lead to the PM ones, but you really need to have a very clear understanding and definition. This is success and we're going to hit it by this time frame. And here's what it looks like. Related to that too, I've worked on many large projects where part of the funding mandate, they're like, oh, we need to put together a business case. And they come up with all fantastic numbers of here's how improved we're going to be, faster time to value and cost savings. But what I see consistently in them is that they all assume 100% user adoption and 100% adoption at day one. And I ask people, well, what does this look like if you only get 80% effective adoption or 70%? What does that do to your business case? And what are the extra resources you need to provide or adjustments to your expectations you need to have for the reality that you're not going to get 100% and you're certainly not going to get it on day one? Then people start to have a different conversation with you once they start to think in those terms.
Well, not to digress too much, but you've been doing this for over a decade. So if somebody decides to create a user adoption strategy and they implement it, what can they expect? Like within three months, 6 months, 9 months, a year? So obviously not 100% adoption of all the users of all their customers, but what is realistic?
I would expect it to be low initially. There's always a productivity dip right around the go live. And the more activities that you do to drive and facilitate adoption, the faster you can come up the curve to breaking even and to getting where you want to go. When I worked with one organization, rolling out to multiple business units, did a lot of hands-on facilitation. The first one took about 5 months to really get people productive and going, navigating the change and learning new ways of working. And then as we rolled out to other business units and we had a track record of success that we could point to, we had learned a lot of things about how to improve the system and the process. We got the next one was 4 months, and then we got it down to about 3 months before people were really cruising. And we never really broke that 3 month barrier. But that was just to get up the curve initially in terms of, are we adopting this? Are we getting value? The challenge becomes 1, 2, 3 years down the road, where I view the return you get on your technology similar to the return you get on an investment account. If you're not constantly paying attention and adjusting, the value is going to come right back down. Years down the road, you have employees who've left the company, new ones who've come in, people right. who've transitioned, changes to the software, changes to the regulatory environment. It's a fluid environment. And if you aren't constantly adjusting your actions to get people to collaborate effectively using the tool all the way through, the value is going to go right back down pretty quickly. So that's why you have to sustain over the long term.
Well, in looking at all the customers that you've worked with on mm-hmm. setting up a user adoption strategy, can you share some quantifiable metrics on like what was the impact?
Sure. We had an organization where we were working with the customer service department, and mm-hmm. they had a lot of issues there where they had not been using the system. And we were able to show reduced time to close tickets all the way through and showed how that progressed by business unit and over time from go live. So we could point to that, as well as metrics around customer satisfaction around those. So we were able to show we were doing more with less. We were cutting down the time and making customers happier. The other thing that was just a matter of getting people to use the system effectively was we were, surprisingly enough, one organization was not invoicing their customers for renewals of their service contract. They were just providing, and they had some customers that they had invoiced in 2 or 3 years because they didn't have an effective way to do that. So there was real cash coming in the door additionally right. because now we had people doing things.
Well, I was sure you're going to say when companies adopt user adoption strategy, the number of users go up by 10%. I don't know, something like that. But instead, what I'm hearing you say, you're going to decrease on costs, increase on efficiency, improve the way they use the systems, maybe find some problems that you can fix that you didn't notice yeah. before. You have it in your blog, like do an analysis of the usage. You're going to find some stuff that you need to fix. It's kind of like a lot of things that almost like optimizing. Yeah, I guess I'm just surprised.
I think that comes back to the, how do you prove a business value? The other stuff that you mentioned, I don't off the top of my head remember specific ones of optimized by 5% or 10%, but I like real numbers. And I like, we brought in real revenue. We decreased time to serve. We actually, they had some attrition of headcount and they maintained the level of delivery that they needed for service with fewer people while still doing it faster. So I think those are numbers that an executive can get their head around and board and like, oh, this is important stuff here. And there's value. Spending a little bit of time to delight our customers and make money, both from finance and from cost savings. That's important, I think. And I think that can get people's attention pretty quickly.
If a company decides to create a user adoption strategy, they assigned an owner, they know their goals, they define yep. the metrics for this, how they're going to gauge success. Now what? Define the framework. What are we doing next?
What are we doing? So one of the first things that you need to do is really conduct an assessment to understand what are the drivers of adoption and what are those organizational barriers that prevent people from using the system, even if they want to. There are all sorts of things. It can be processes. It can be policies. It can be incentives and rewards and human resources and skills and all kinds of things. So having some buckets that you look in a structured way, say, let's investigate in this area is really key. What I typically look at for a headline, though, is really the formula ability times motivation. What are the ability factors that drive people to use a system or prevent them even if they wanted to? And there's always something. And then the motivation ones, why would I do this? Why wouldn't I? From an ability standpoint, I've seen everything from I don't have time to the system doesn't work. People upstream, especially like for CRMs, people in sales or other departments don't enter the data that I need. So I can't provide the support that I need to do. So you can't hold me accountable for not doing my job when I'm not able to do my job.
I think one of the key things that you mentioned in your blog is the conduct a user adoption analysis.
Yes.
What's the right time to do such an analysis? Is it like 3-6 months after go live or whenever, but definitely post go live, maybe a few years after when you start seeing an issue? When do you?
Oh, no. We usually do them before go live, actually.
Before go live?
We had one company was doing a major CRM implementation. They brought us in to help plan and facilitate the user adoption 6 months before they even selected their vendor. So part of that was, how are we going to structure this? Because it was a nationwide organization, presence in all 50 states. Understanding that from the different users, what are the things that get in their way? What is going to be new for them? What is the data? What are the processes that will prevent them from using the system? And then what are the other things that we can do to encourage them to? And how do we plan for this way in advance? Because some of these things will take months to work out, especially in a political organization, if you've got to really facilitate people along. So I think the user adoption assessment starts months before, ideally before go live, if you can. And then coming up with what is our plan to get us there as quickly as possible. But I think to your point, though, you do need to evolve that. And that is sort of the last step over time is, okay, what's changed and what do we need to do, right, even on an annual or every 2 or 3 year basis to make sure we're still solving the right issues?
There's not a lot of software vendors that include this step, aka work with our customers to come up with a user adoption plan before go live or even once a year. But I think this is actually a critical strategic plan every CSM needs to develop with customers, especially when there's a huge number of users that's supposed to use the system or multiple sites, or if the system is really comprehensive and very complicated to use. So all of those are really important. And I think your blog really lays down the foundation of what are the elements that should be included in that user adoption strategic plan that you would develop for your or with your customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree 100%. One of the challenges when we work with CSMs and CS teams is the CSMs usually don't have expertise in user adoption and they don't know the questions to ask. They don't know the processes to do it. And then they don't know how to facilitate an action plan back to their customer. Like, we need to do these things by this date to achieve the goals. And I think the more CSM can do that, the better they can advise their customer. Like, say, look, if you do these things, here's how quickly you'll get value and how much additional value you will get. But if you don't do these things, let's have a conversation now to reset some expectations about how much value you can realistically achieve with our system or any system, because these are system agnostic issues. These are organizational, behavioral, and performance issues. They're not technology and data issues, usually.
I really wanted your opinion because you're the expert. There's one bullet point in your blog that says, facilitate adoption. And then you kind of go into, oh, use different methodologies to achieve that. I was like, okay, that's a black hole. Can you give us some examples of what kind of methodologies should we recommend?
So I think there are a lot of things depending on what it is, but one of the ones that I did that was, it was easy, it took some time, but it was very, very powerful, was working hands-on with the managers and end users to really help them understand, here's what you've been using the system, here's where it's right, here's where it's wrong, let's learn from this, what needs to change in the process and system, and here's what we want you to do going forward. One of the things I think is important to remember, and in my experience has been the single biggest driver of user adoption is the immediate supervisor of the end users. And many times these immediate supervisors or managers, they don't even know that it's their job to drive adoption within their team. They've not been asked to do it. They don't have the tools or skills to do it. But when you engage the managers first and help them engage their team, you can be very impactful. So for example, with one group, what we did, when we'd map this out even before we went live, was we'd come up with specific week by week, week one, week two, week three, here are the user adoption goals that we want each person to do. And they were very simple and very progressive. So put in 3 records of this system in the accounts, put in 3 contacts, put in 4, then the next week do X, Y, and Z. And they kept building on each other. But what we also would do is every Thursday we'd go and I would meet with the manager and we'd look through the data and say, let's see what people actually did and find 2 or 3 examples of really great usage and great behavior and clean and pristine data and value that was created. And 2 or 3 examples where people missed the mark. We assume unintentionally that they just were busy or didn't know and didn't understand. And then we got everyone together and we put it up on the screen. And what happened is I would coach the manager on, this is the conversation you need to have. He would go with his team and meet with them and review the good and the bad, and then set up an expectation for the very next week. And we came back the following Friday and did the same thing again. What came through those conversations were clarity around the expectations for how they would do their job using the system and what needs to be done. He would hold them accountable for it, but also they would come up with legitimate issues that were missed in the processes of the system that needed to be tweaked in order to make it better. So it really was a great learning experience and great feedback loop. And as we went through with these, it quickly went from, you know, it was a 2-hour meeting on Friday, you know, tears and drains and people kind of just beaten down over it to, oh, it's a 30-minute meeting. Everyone's excited. Oh, this is great. This is going to make it easier. Here's where we go. So there was a certain amount of how do we set this up that it was a learning situation, not just a bitch session. but let people get through some of their emotional stuff as they were changing. And then into the, okay, now it's a real learning review. And this is how we're going to be smarter and celebrate the success that we had. And it was incredibly powerful. And then as you go through that process, then you can quickly get to the, oh, maybe we'll do this once a quarter. We don't need to do this every week. Mm. You can back off the throttle a little. But that's just one example.
That's a great idea, actually, like to set up this type of meeting, allow people to vent out, share ideas, let them feel like they're heard. Maybe do that at a higher cadence at first. And then as the problem is resolved or the goals are achieved, still facilitated, but not as a lower cadence, so to speak.
Right. Absolutely. And you quickly get to the point you can show some wonderful things. And then you can start to focus on, oh, look how much we've cut support time. Look how much we've achieved these business outcomes that we're trying to achieve anyway. So it's sort of, they can see the fruits of their labor and
celebrate,
people can get very proud of that.
Yeah. What are you seeing your most successful customers using in terms of tools to get user adoption goals done or successfully or just done faster?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. One, I like the usage and analytics tools. It's always great to see what's being used and what's not and where you're going, because that helps you identify, these groups of users, they're doing really well. Let's learn what they're doing right. And these groups need some more support so we can target our efforts and also change our interventions there. I think things like the in-apps, like the WalkMe's and AppQ's and those things, they can be great for thinking, how are we going to dynamically do our basic training and navigation issues of the technology and making that faster, more responsive? But they don't do as good a job of being clear on, you need to do this by 5 p.m. on Friday and for these reasons. And here's my expectation as a manager. And I think as a manager, if you take the mindset of, I've got to drive adoption in my team, and I like giving each department their own adoption goals that they need to hit, do that through whatever performance management process you typically do. Or
this would be these ones or these ones. But basically what you're saying, take your success plan, document it somewhere, create tasks, assign owners, due dates, drive it like a project plan, essentially.
Absolutely. Yep. And I think reporting on that every week up to the next level. So here's the roll up, here's where we are. And however you're doing that with your other weekly statistics or monthly statistics that you do, put it in there where you need to go. I do think, as you're talking about, like some of the communication tools, like the SendSparks of the world and those, that there are ways that you can help scale expectations and communicate out to your team, especially in these days when so many people are working remotely, that, okay, we've got to figure out how we can do this at scale. And it's very impactful having a manager or a frontline person saying, oh, here's what I need, or here's what it is. Put it in a video, send it out.
These type of tools, you would like maybe LMS systems?
I think LMS comes in some for, there's a couple of pieces. One is the, what is the skill level that employees need to have to understand the business process and the technology and how to navigate it and use the tool? Mm-hmm. So that's one part of it. And I think the other piece is then, what are the behaviors I need to have to do my job? So I need this in here by Friday because the other department needs it. I need to have this in here right away so that we can invoice. I need to make sure it's, you know, we break this into one record instead of, or three records instead of one, the different values, because it triggers other things. Some of those are more hands-on education behavior setting. Whereas I think a lot of the tools go for the, what's the baseline skill that people need to have around using the technology and where we need to be.
What I'm hearing you say, guided tours can help. Analyzing usage data using usage analytics tools can definitely help. Putting it all in a project plan in either your customer success software or collaboration, if you're going to collaborate with a customer and drive accountability, is very important. And then what factor do videos really play? If I have the video or not have the video, if I have a good user adoption plan, videos become a critical piece here or not?
I think they're very important for facilitating communication and building trust. And here's what it is, and doing it at scale. I think they're also very good for distributed time zone issues and letting people participate asynchronously. So I think they're very helpful there.
I'm going to make some recommendations. First of all, PlanHat does have a customer portal. I think in Gainsight, you might be able to, they do have a success plan module where you can put your user adoption success plan in it and possibly share some of it with customers. I haven't seen the latest demo, so I don't know. Rockettail definitely has a user interface, so check that out. Also, definitely recommend investing in Loom. We use it all the time with our customers. So if you needed to kind of like communicate up status updates, anything like that, it becomes much more interactive and more scalable to push the user adoption forward. And then I do think that they would need some sort of a feedback loop. So once I release it to the user, I want to get their feedback. The most scalable way is to do it with a survey. The larger companies are going to choose Qualtrics. I think it's like a sledgehammer to get a little nail in the wall. So most companies, like the smaller ones, would have Delighted. You could use SurveyMonkey, SurveySparrow. We love using SurveySparrow personally. You might want to check these ones because, like you said, the user adoption success plan should be part of this. These guys should be paying you to work with them to develop a module for user success plans in there as part of the onboarding. And then, yeah, I think this is nice to have. Definitely, you know, maybe for the user adoption analysis after the user adoption plan is being executed. Which ones I'm seeing mostly used? Pendo definitely is a big one. I think there's more and more companies using Gainsight PX because they're already like a Gainsight customer, or they just decided to use Gainsight PX. That's it. I want to thank you. You're just such a great guy overall. And you always try your best to improve the community's knowledge around this topic and other topics related to customer success through your podcast. Thank you for being a stand-up guy and doing this with me.